Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Wednesday morning. We always appreciate it. Still to come on the program, Public Service Commissioner Jeremy Oden will be with us. We also got Joe Pollack on Breitbart News, and we'll wrap it all up with Yellowhammer News' Sean Ross. So still a jam-packed show for you to go. Please stick around. Also, 251-343-0106 if you would like to offer your thoughts on anything. Text line works really, really well. Joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on our next guest, friend of the program, also represents the folks up just north of Montgomery in Autauga County, State Senator Clyde Chambliss of Prattville on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for making time. We always appreciate it. Wanted to get you on, talk about a few things, but I guess just for the sake of a general overview, things are winding down. You got one more day of the 2021 session left. Overall thoughts on the way things have progressed over these last couple of months?
Well, it's been an interesting session. As you all know, we went into the session not knowing exactly how long we would be able to meet without COVID, taking over and being a problem. Fortunately, with all the protocols and everything that was put in place, that really never became a major issue for us. We had some isolated positive results here and there, but nothing significant. So that was a real win. You know, we started the session on 3-day weeks to try to get ahead of a potential shutdown due to COVID. So we worked three-day legislative weeks, several weeks, and you know those take a toll on you. They're really difficult weeks, and a lot's being done. So you kind of get behind the eight ball energy wise up front. And, you're tired and struggling. And then, we ended up having a full session. So here we are at the end of the session. And I think everybody's just pretty much really tired and ready to finish our business and go home.
Senator, from the get-go, you've been kind of a skeptic or quasi-skeptic. I don't know if that's proper, but it seems as if the whole comprehensive gambling process and what's been put out and you've asked for, the accompanying legislation to be included before you take another look at a constitutional amendment, and so on forth. But, your thoughts on what kind of shook down in the House, were you surprised that it ran into the obstacles that it did coming out of the Senate?
No, I was not surprised. This is a very complicated issue, and a lot of folks want to make it simple. It's not simple. It's very difficult, very complicated. And it's primarily complicated because we already have gambling in the state. There are 18 localities that have local constitutional amendments. And when you already have something you're modifying or adding to or changing, or now we're going to regulate something that's unregulated, we're going to license something that's unlicensed, all of those factors come into play and makes it very, very complicated. So no, I wasn't surprised at all about it stalling in the House. I pretty much thought that it would, because it is so complicated, and it's for anything to ever be done, I think it's going to take, and I'll say this, I'm not necessarily a proponent, but they are closer than probably they've ever been. And some of the major things that I'm interested in is number one, regulating an unregulated industry, and an industry that we know historically has issues with folks who want to take advantage of situations. So we need to regulate it. We need to license it. So I'm coming at it from that approach. And, it's just a very complicated issue, and we'll see what happens going forward.
And when you watch the way it's playing out, though, I guess the next question would be, well, we right now we have a kind of a patchwork system. Like you said, we have these local constitutional amendments that govern a lot of this. There's some question about the legality of the some of these existing facilities, whether they should remain open or not. But at some point, that seems like it's going to be you're going to come to a point where you're going to have to address this, or be it with law enforcement going in and saying these are illegal, or that things are kind of allowed to stay on the status quo, which I don't know if that's tenable or not. But at some point, would you agree that the legislature needs to address this situation?
I do. I do think that we need to address it. And I couple that with gambling is a very, very poor way to fund government. So when you're addressing it and trying to fund government, we need to be very, very careful. And some of the things that I tried to put in place were dealing with the fiscal responsibility. One of the initiatives that I tried to put in place was that we would escrow these revenues, and then we would appropriate them in arrears. So we know exactly what we have before we try to spend it. That's what you and I do at our homes, and that's what we need to do with this revenue if we ever get to that point. But we do have this patchwork network across the state. And there's some gray area. I think some people move the gray area too far. There's not necessarily any gray area that these locations can do some form of gambling. They have a constitutional amendment that allows them to do some form of gambling. It's what form are they allowed to do? And each one of those constitutional amendments are a little bit different. In some places, I am of the belief that all they can do is paper bingo. In other places, it appears that they can do electronic, electronic. So that further complicates the complicated issue, and every site is treated differently. And that was one of the thoughts on the comprehensive plan, is to rescind those 18 and have a new gambling CA. Address them all and address them all in a fair way across the board, and one site's not treated differently than another.
Yeah, I mean, there's like equal protection questions, but I guess leaving it up to local governments and local voters tends to be where a lot of conservatives like to side. But, you know, not getting anything done, and we have this discussion, it seems like every year, will this be the year? Are you getting a sense from your constituents that they want something done? Have you gotten any feedback?
Yeah, primarily the feedback that I get is we want a lottery. We want a lottery. And I understand that, and I get that. However, it's difficult to do just the lottery. And there again, I'm not a proponent of gambling and pushing it out there, but that's what the people are wanting. So we're trying to work toward what the people are wanting, but we also need to make sure that we put the proper controls and everything on it. If we did not have gambling in our state right now, then a lottery vote, a clean lottery, a simple lottery, whatever people want to call it, I don't think there is such a thing, but that would be very easy if we didn't have gambling already in our state. But we have gambling already in our state, and just frankly, there's a limited amount of money that's going to be spent on gambling. So when you add a lottery, you're going to take money away from existing entities. That's just the economics of the situation. So when you have that potential, then they obviously have a vested interest in continuing their business model, and it kind of bogs down from there.
I mean, and we'll move on after this, but do you think though that do you think this could be done? Do you think it's going to require a special session, or do you think that maybe you just, if we're going to tackle it, you got to have the House and the Senate starting earlier in the session and not trying to do this 11th hour, whatever it is, like we tried this year?
Well, 11th hour is very difficult, and it's fortunately our we live in a republic, a constitutional republic, and there are mechanisms and maneuvers and rules and procedures that are used to try to block that type of thing, and that's a good thing. That's legislation should be difficult to pass. It seems to me that the best track forward would be a House and Senate group of diverse and bipartisan members sit down out of session, work through all the details, come to some type of agreement. Obviously, the governor would need to be involved in that because she has control over a special session. Get all the details worked out, ironed out, and then come into a five-day short special session to make it work. That would be, in my opinion, the best way to do it if I were on the proponent side. And even on my side, where I just want the proper controls and proper that's the, in my opinion, the better way to do it as well. Because when you're in a regular session, there's so many issues, so many other items that interact and relate and prohibit, and people use as leverage, and that kind of thing. And that's not necessarily wrong. It just is what it is. That's the way our system's set up. And doing it in a special session by itself is probably the better track.
Joined by State Senator Clyde Chambliss here on the program, always very generous with his time. Senator, prisons, as you may well, or you do know, I assume, that the underwriters for Governor Ivey's lease build plan, they pulled out. There's not the financing there. And it looks like, after all, it's going to have to come to the legislature for some kind of bond issue or something of that sort. Now, at least that looks like how things are trending. And I know there's a movement afoot to do something on the last day, but, I guess you've been around this racket long enough to know that that's probably a long shot or wishful thinking. But what do you think? If the legislature does get involved, can you even do Governor Ivey's proposed plan, given that it requires buying new land and kind of starting from scratch with new facilities, or do you need to look at some other alternatives?
Well, a prison bond bill would not require us to buy new land. We already own land in each of those three counties that these prisons could be put on. However, I think the thing and where we're at right now, the way I understand the lease, and I've tried to read through it, CoreCivic has until June 1st to procure their financing and, give us a lease rate. So we're kind of in a limbo situation between now and then. Obviously, it appears by these three investment bankers pulling out that financing is a problem. However, I'm sure they have backup plans and things they're working on, and we'll just have to see what transpires between now and June 1st to see if they can get it done. There's a lot of discussion and a lot of thoughts about the last day of the session and what can be done and what should be done. The gist of it is that we pretty much have to have good agreement among all parties, all three bodies, House, Senate, and the governor's office, to do something on the last day. If the governor's plan is still on the table and viable on Monday, then that obviously would be problematic, and we would probably have to come back in a special session to address it.
Yeah, and signs are pointing to a special session. Do you think this is something you're not going to be able to put off until 2022, just given the Department of Justice and all the other pressures dealing with the Alabama Department of Corrections that it needs to be addressed sooner and not later?
I absolutely believe it has to be addressed sooner and not later. I actually thought that last year. But with COVID and everything that happened, it seemed like they were willing to, continue to work with us. So I think if we get out of this session, if we don't have a special fairly soon after that, say June, to address it. And again, if all the financing fails on CoreCivic side, If we don't have a special session at that point, I think the DOJ is going to be very, very serious about their next steps.
That's, the DOJ just seems, at least it's my perception, that they seem like they've been somewhat patient with the state, waiting to see what's going to happen. But whenever we talk about, whenever it's brought up, we're waiting on the sentencing commission guidelines, we're waiting on this, we're waiting on that. There always seems to be a reason, a justification for postponing somewhat.
Well, they have been very patient, and I very much appreciate that. I will say that there are things that we have been doing, especially legislatively, with financing, with increased funding, with trying to hire new correction officers, with creating a basic correction officer category that's not a post-certified. There are a lot of things that we have done. And they see, I think, that we do intend to solve this. We are working towards solutions. And as long as we're making significant progress, I think that they have been willing to be patient with us. If the financing falls through and we don't come up with a bond bill very soon or very, very early in the summer, I think all of that patience kind of ends, and they have to move forward with their next steps at that point.
Senator, we're out of time, but we do appreciate you making time as always, and hopefully we can talk again very soon.
All righty, thanks. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. State Senator Clyde Chambliss on the line. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.